Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here. I'm going to start with an apology that I'm already feeling extremely guilty about, but I had originally said no when I was asked to come tonight because I have to catch a very, very early flight out tomorrow. I have to be out by 4. So, and I don't do well with extreme fatigue. So I'm going to, very uncharacteristically, have to run out, and I can't think of two people I'd like to hear more than the two people sitting up here. So, but this is going to be posted on the website, I think, right? Good. Oh, so I don't feel guilty anymore. Okay. So I was asked to focus a little bit on the issue of the specific challenges of being single in a married world, especially around Yontif time. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time focusing on that. In the spirit of, Rosh Hashanah, Elul, one of the meanings of the word Elul is, a search. From the word Yalula, the Targum says, and Yasura Sa'aretz. It's to search. It's to take a step back, to look and to think about where your goals are. And I was thinking that there's nothing quite like getting clarity about where you're going and what you want to do in terms of giving people who are not necessarily living a life that always feels in control, giving them more of a sense of control. It's hard nowadays to find clarity, not just because of all the stresses that you all might be dealing with, post-divorce stresses, but also because it's hard to find this stillness. There's a beautiful thought of Rav Bloch, the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Telz in Cleveland, who said that the word nitzavim, which we're going to read on Shabbos, it is part of the ceremony that was done, as Rashi tells us, at big transition times. Moshe to Yoshua, Yoshua to Shmuel, Shmuel to King Shaul. And what it's about, he says, isn't the act of physical standing. It's about the act of psychological standing, of stillness, of finding stillness. It's harder now. Listen to this study, an amazing study I came across recently. July 4th issue of Science Magazine. Actually, it's a summary of 11 studies. And this is sort of the pizur hanefesh. It's made it so hard to have a night like tonight. Listen to what they do. They take a bunch of people, and they have them alone, different ages, college age, older, and they say, spend between 8 and 15 minutes alone in a room. They take your cell phone away, and they say, just be alone with your thoughts, reflecting, thinking. People nowadays despise it. They find it to be an incredibly odious and difficult task. But here's where the study gets amazing. They then take an electroshock machine that delivers mild electroshock, mildly painful, but clearly unpleasant. And they put it in the corner of the room. So they say, stay alone in the room with your thoughts. But they also say, by the way, if you get really bored and you'd like, there's no pressure, you could give yourself a mild electric shock. A little crazy. Why would anybody do that? Do you know what percentage of men shock themselves because they had such a hard time with the needs of him? 62%. And women, which shocked me, 25%. Okay? There's something interesting, some interesting psychological message about the difference between this side of the room and that side of the room. But in terms of this component and finding that place of nitzavim, that place of stillness, that place of search, is basically a beautiful thought I heard from the Pia Zessner, quoting the Baal Shem Tov. He says, when we say in Shema, V'yavadatem Mehera, those two words, Al Pidrush, you know what it means? Get rid of the rush in your life. Isn't that amazing? V'yavadatem Mehera. Since I saw that, Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg pointed it out to me, it's been, I say Shema differently. We need that place. Okay. Here's what I'm going to talk about. First, a little bit in their own words. Here's what people have told me and shared with me people who are either newly divorced, and there are different groups in this room. There are people who are single parents of very young children. There are people here who got divorced after their last kid got married and moved off and got divorced later in life. And I know there are different challenges, but I'm going to try to keep this irrelevant to both demographic groups. So here's one. This is quotes, direct quotes. "It is agonizing to sit and be alone among a lot of people who are supposed to understand and totally don't. Sometimes that's why it's easier to stay home and be alone on Yontif rather than being alone among lots of people." Incredibly sad. And I don't think it's because people are cruel. It's because people are busy, and because people don't get it, and because people don't have the time to reflect on how to be nosei ba'ol im chavero. Number two, some of you have heard me quote one of my favorite studies. They take a person, they put him or her at the bottom of a hill. They say, estimate the steepness of this hill. If you're alone, the study finds, you see the hill is very steep. If you have somebody at your side, the hill looks less steep. The closer you are to the person at your side, the closer you feel, the less steep the hill looks and the less tired you get walking up the hill. That whole component of the power of connection. So here's another quote. "Sometimes enabling a single mom to take a nap or play with kids for half an hour can make all the difference of coping." We have to let the grandparents and the siblings and the friends know this and understand that. We have to figure out a way to somehow make that clear. "Even married siblings," another quote, "with children of their own, can lift a finger once over Yontif for their single mom sister." There's somehow a change in those perceptions that become extremely important. And then finally, understanding how Yontif is a trigger in terms of moodiness. And here's another quote. "Yes, Zadies and Bubbies are out of practice, but taking the time to give attention as much as possible to children of divorced families, Yontif can be an especially lonely and happy time for them too, and they need more tender, loving care, special attention, and patience than ever, not getting annoyed with their crankiness and bad mood." Okay, I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't know. But sometimes I think that if we could figure out a way to convey this message to people who I know aren't coming from a bad place. They're coming from a place of sort of cluelessness. You know, if you haven't experienced yourself, it's kind of hard to get it. Okay, what do you do about it? I'm going to talk about six P's. You often use that. Six P's, is that the right letter? It's the letter. For some reason, P's Pesach. Work with everything. Six P's, yeah, this is in Pesach. We have another word for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. That could be a P. We'll work on it. Okay. So here's P number one. P number one is, if you get triggered by insensitive family or friends over Yontif, remember the following. All the research shows that if you allow yourself to get upset and to get angry, okay, if you allow yourself to get pulled into losing your temper, you're always going to feel badly. The Sefer Hasidim beautifully said, I think I mentioned this last time that I spoke here, Sefer Hasidim said three words that capture everything. It says, Achris ketata charata. After argument, there's a regret. Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz of Kamenetz used to maybe lose his temper a little bit, but he had a special anger hat. Anytime he was angry at his children or at his wife or at his talmidim, he would refuse to allow himself to give in to his anger. He'd do the pullback response, okay? He would say, wait a second. He'd run into his bedroom, rummage through the closet, find a special anger hat. I like to think that it was red, not a black hat. And that would give him enough time to do the pullback, from the animalistic, angry part of rage, which is kilu oved avodah zarah, behind the nose, where the amygdala and the primitive response to anger is, to the shel rosh, to the frontal, prefrontal cortex, where our thinking and perspective taking lives. So that's the first P. P number two is perspective taking. Perspective taking, where you need to try to get some distance, because I'll tell you, to stay angry and resentful, even though you have every right to feel that way. And I'm not, we'll talk about giving yourself permission to be upset with people who aren't there for you the way they should, is probably going to pull you further into the quicksand. All the research I know about going through tough times in life says that to the extent that you could eventually to get a place of focusing on the positive, you're going to do much better. And part of that is the P of perspective taking. Try, get curious about how to see it through their eyes. It almost always will help you with your resentment. And that's going to help you deal with them better. And then you're not bouncing back the kamayim upanim upanim kein leva adam. You're not bouncing back the anger at them. And it'll probably improve things a little bit. And but part of that, part of the perspective taking, is to understand how hard it must be for your kids, you know, not wanting to go to shul because they don't have a father to sit next to, or a daughter not wanting to go to shul. The fathers have the kids for yontif because they don't know who to sit next to, you know, in the women's section of shul. And the ability to try to understand and to remember to be understood, first understand, makes a huge difference in terms of being able to avoid the achris katata charata. That's number two. So we did pullback, we did perspective. Number three is part of the perspective taking is just to remember, and I'm not saying anything that's surprising to anybody, the incredible importance, why it's so important to work on this. The first quote I read was somebody said, you know what, it's easier to stay home. I can't emphasize enough, no matter how annoying your parents may be, the grandparents may be, or your friends may be, or your siblings may be, remember, siblings, our sibling relationships are the longest relationships we have in our life. They're worth working to preserve and trying to work on it to help them get what you need from them in a reasonable way. And kids need grandparents. All the new research on it is showing, especially today, is grandparents fill an essential role in the emotional development of children, especially children of divorce. So we have to hold on to that and realize it's really worth working on. They need to know what they're connected to. They need to understand that history. And it's actually more than kids coming from intact families, you need to focus on figuring out a way to have the yontif together. It's not a frill, okay? And anything, any way you can make things predictable is going to be helpful. You know that after 9/11, children who lived, who had direct exposure and lost people in their family directly, so the ones who would be most impacted. So somebody did a study where he looked at, did they come from families that had a family narrative, a family story? You know, where were the grandparents born? What were they like? Who in the family got into trouble with police? Who was the hero of the family, who was the villain of the family, whatever it is, just a story, a family narrative. How did the parents meet? Something as simple and seemingly innocuous as that, those kids who had that sense of history and community and family did much better in terms of resilience. And that, coupled with being able to focus on gratitude and hakara satova on what they had, was an important ingredient of resilience. So that's another component in terms of the perspective taking. P number three is planned discussion. So planned discussion is, again, not so easy. It's to really sit down, calmly try to hear it, figure out a time when you strike when the iron is cold, to talk about whoever it is that you're spending yontif with in terms of trying to tell them in as calm and non-critical way as possible how it could be so incredibly helpful to you if they do A, B, and C. And to make it into a dialogue. Very often, I'm not saying some of you may not have family that's going to be that receptive to that, but more often than not, especially this time of year, I find that people are receptive to trying to be there. Okay? You know, so grandparents need to understand how difficult it must be to go from the royal treatment of a married woman or married man to the role of being a divorced. They need help in remembering to treat the divorced child no differently than when they were married. They need to know to be in a room, in a home that respects their adult status. Very often, once you're divorced, I hear from many people that they're somehow put in a less desirable room in the home. than the married couple is. And I understand this is all complex stuff, but to just talk about it and to feel that you have a right to talk about it ahead of time can actually make a difference. P number four is the power of predicting beforehand. What I mean here is try to think in the spirit of Elul, in the spirit of search, in the spirit of thinking ahead of time, try to predict as you think about 3-day yontifs, a psychological diagnosis in and of itself for some people, okay? And you think about what are going to be the toughest times at what point of yontif in terms of the challenge for you, in terms of the trigger of what you're going through. And I know you're all at different stages in terms of the divorce and at different ages and stages in life, but to be able to predict before, during, and after what will be the tough times, okay, and come up with a different plan for each of them. To name the monster is to conquer it. I think I might have once mentioned to some of you about a buddy of mine, Bessel van der Kolk, one of the Gedolei Hadar in trauma. And he once showed me the picture of a patient of his who was caught in the stairwell of the World Trade Center on 9/11 and barely got away with his life. It was extremely close. It was miraculous that he made it. And he had a fMRI, a picture of the man's brain, as he was reliving the worst moment of his life. And Dr. van der Kolk showed it to me. We were collaborating on some research. He said, you got to see this. You know what your brain looks like when you're going through a flashback to the most difficult point in your life? The language centers are shut down. It's literally de minimis. You're shut down. But then, this is where it gets interesting. He finds, and he showed me subsequent scans, that as he gave this patient of his, Dr. van der Kolk is a psychiatrist, as he gave him words for his pain and helped him go from demimus to sheket to talking to meaning-making, that's where the refuah came in. So to be able to figure out that kind of prediction and that kind of plan, and I'll just remind you, we're talking about 9/11. I remember now that 13 years ago on 9/12, I was privileged to be part of a program here in Brooklyn that I think Ohel sponsored, and the main speaker was Rabbi Tzio Solomon, and he opened up with the incredible Rav Hirsch from Hazinu, parsha that we're going to be reading very soon, where it says in Hazinu that in times of tzara, we're compared to what? Of all the animals in the world, to an eagle. Kinesher Yair Kinol goes all of Yirachev, because unlike any other parent trying to rescue a child, okay, the eagle hovers over the nest, and the baby eagle has to actively go from passive to active and jump on the mother's back as the eagle soars to safety. You have to go from passive to active. And any way you could do that ahead of time, even just thinking about it, even thinking about a plan, is going to make a difference. Okay, so that's actually the fifth P, the P of making a plan. Okay, so as part of a plan, who's the best person to turn to for support on a 3-day yontif? What works best for you? Are you a distractor, right? We're dagab lavish yashchena, yashchena midata, where you do better not talking and not thinking. If you're a distractor, you probably wouldn't be here tonight. Or are you the yasichena la'acherim, as the Gemara tells us, the person who does better by having somebody to talk to? Identify that person, maybe even tell them before yontif, would you be available if I'm having a tough time? It makes a huge difference to be able to just go in that way from the passive to active in terms of coming up with a plan. And the final point, and then I'll end with a story, is to remember Ashrei Yishor, highest level of happiness, as many, many, as you hear from Chazal in a variety of ways, is Yishor, is when you validate somebody. Ashrei Yishor are etymologically related. So don't compound the difficulty by being upset about being upset. Give yourself permission to say, even though it's a happy time, and even though it's a time of simcha, and even though it's a yontif, of course it's hard, because there's nothing that highlights the difference between what you're going through now and past happier times. But by actively embracing it, it makes all the difference. Let me end with the story. My main area in the secular world is trauma. And there was a woman who I worked with in Sri Lanka after the tsunami. She was sent by Israel. I was doing some work there, you know, coming from the United States. And we spent time working together, working with 40 doctors who had been put in charge of trying to help that country heal from the horrible devastation after the tsunami. So my wife and I get together with her whenever we're in Eretz Yisrael. So we're in Yerushalayim about a year or two ago. We're having a cup of coffee together. And I ask her, what's new? She always has great stories because she specializes in trauma. And the story she told me is going to be what I'm ending with, tied to the current events in Eretz Yisrael. She told me that she was working with a family, a mother and her 7-year-old son. You heard this story, right? Did any of you hear this story? Because I'll switch it for another story. This is about the chauffeur story? Because otherwise I'll switch it. Only you heard it. Okay. Other people don't listen. Okay? So here's the story. She's working with a Hasidish, a 7-year-old boy in a shruna, in a neighborhood right next to Sderot. Constant rocket fire. And every time there'd be a Tsev Edom, a code red, the boy would run like crazy, run away from his mother. She was trying to get him down to a shelter. He'd be running all over the neighborhood, and she'd be running after him. Missiles were flying. It was life-threatening to the boy and life-threatening to the mother. So my friend was the therapist who was trying to help, and nothing was working. She's a very skilled therapist. She couldn't get anywhere. But you know who figured it out? The mother figured it out. She sits down with her child. And she says, you know Elul time, Rosh Hashanah time, you hear the shofar, right? She says, when a shofar blows, it's two messages that you're being given. One message is, wake up, Ur Yishena Mishinaschem, code red, Sevedom, gotta act. And the other message, though, is you're not alone. Imo Nochi Betzara. We're all in this together. We have shelters for you. Unlike our enemies, we have places to go. As a community together, we stand at the bottom of a hill. So that's the message I wanted to close with. The message of, as we think about the six P's, right? The way of figuring out how to pull back and not give into anger and achris ketata charata. The P of perspective taking, of being able to take it, to figure out and try to get curious about how could they treat me that way, because that often helps with the calmness. The P of planned discussion, of sitting down calmly to be understood first, understand. The P of predicting, of Ashrei Yishur, of trying to predict before, during, and after what might be the toughest time on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the various 3-day yontifs coming up our way, and the fifth P of going from passive to active with that plan, and then finally the P of permission. May we all be zoche as you move on to come to a place of moving on, being able to focus on appreciating the incredible gift of being able to spend yontif with your families and spend yontif focusing on what you have. Not in any way to take away from the right to talk about it and think about it. Now, that's that. Now, I have to run. Should we do a little bit of questions, or is that... let me get permissions from my co-presenters. A little bit, just a few minutes? Okay. So, questions, because... yes, please.
Actually going through so much horrible. And I think that, like, how much do you feel that the divorced community, whatever you're exposed to, actually feels happy and grateful that their life now is better than it was before? And even though there are challenges, yeah, that it's just a practical issue at this point. It's not as draining and difficult as
so you're,
it may have
so you're
been
saying
in the past.
That you're saying that actually that's been the experience that you see,
and from what I see from others,
that's
I think
wonderful.
Maybe that's just who I'm interacting with.
Yeah, you know what? First of all, it makes me very happy to hear that. Okay, which is wonderful. And my guess is that there are a lot of variables that go into it. And, you know, and it probably differs based on a lot of, you know, where you are in terms of in the process and whatever. And chas v'sholem, you know, there's nothing that would make me happier than to hear that that's the norm. You know, that's why I started by reading actual quotes from people about some of the challenges they have over Yontif. But you're right. You know, I'm sure there are many people who really do quite well, and I'm delighted to hear that. So I don't have to be, you know, thank you for sharing that. Okay, thank you, everybody. Have a good Gebenst Jahr, and thank you so much for allowing me to be here. And thank you.